Would you please pray with me? Search us and know us, O God. You know that some of us are feeling rather tired today and are having trouble focusing. Some of us, Lord, feel very disconnected and are hoping to feel connected again. Some of us are eager to hear your word. Search us and know us, O God, and open us, mind and spirit, to hearing your word, to receiving that message that we need to hear today. May your spirit move through me as I share the words that you've given me this week. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself how many times you are photographed in a day? When you walk into the bank or return your cart to the corral in the parking lot, somewhere there is a camera marking your every move. Our world is full of blue lights on street corners and buzzing cameras mounted on walls. And yet David tells us here in Psalm 139 that at every moment of the day, we are under a much higher scrutiny. He reveals that the secret to understanding ourselves is to know the God who knows us. Right at the start, the psalmist proclaims that God has searched him and knows him. Now, the Hebrew word for knowing him in this context means that God knows him relationally and experientially. It only makes sense that God knows the psalmist because God created him. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, thinking about God creating me makes me feel rather special. We're all made differently in our looks and our personalities. Now, we might have similarities, but none of us are exactly the same. And think about how many people there have been in our world since the beginning of time. And add all to that all of those who will live yet. Think about it, that God created all to be uniquely different. That's a lot of difference, isn't it? And God has known those before us, and God knows each and every one of us individually. But here in verse 1, the knowing is taken really even a step further. The psalmist says that God has searched him, meaning God has made a deliberate effort to know him. God's efforts to know the psalmist here means God knew that what the psalmist was doing. He knows when he was doing it. He knew what the psalmist was thinking and saying. God took the initiative to know the psalmist in depth. The same is true for us. God searches and knows us. So it wasn't enough for God to just create us and to set us free to live this life that he gave us. God has an emotional connection to us. In verse 3, the psalmist says that God searches out his path and his lying down. And God is acquainted with all of the psalmist's ways. The Hebrew word translated search in this particular case has a different meaning from its use in verse 1. Here it means to measure or to scrutinize. It is more analytical and less emotional than kind of searching spoken of in verse 1. God consciously endeavors to know what makes us tick. God has made it his business to know how we feel about things that happen to us. God intentionally seeks to understand why we do and say the things we do and say. Nothing of who we are is hidden from God. God searches us both ways, not to be nosy, but because he loves and wants us to intimately be involved and he wants to intimately be involved in our lives. All of God's searching and knowing is not meant to trap or to control us, but it's to reassure us, to steady us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to endeavor to face all of life's ups and downs. The psalmist tells us that God, in fact, knows us better than we know ourselves. Can you imagine that? We should not wonder how this is possible. While we might imagine that no one could possibly know us better than we know ourselves, that is far from true. We're often confused, conflicted, and short-sighted. We find ourselves doing hateful things and failing to live according to our treasured values. Even an insightful human counselor can often see things hidden at our core and bring them to the surface where we can then see them too. If that's possible, why should we be surprised that the one who created us would know us better than we know ourselves? And even better than that best-trained counselor. In verse 7, we might begin to wonder if the psalmist sees God's presence as a blessing or a curse. When he says, "Where could I go to hide from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence?" Oh, come on. Surely there are times when we would be embarrassed to think of God watching our every move. We're all sinners, including the psalmist. And we're doing something wrong. We most likely would prefer that God would just look the other way. But as we move further along in the psalm, it seems that the psalmist is not intimidated or fearful of God, but instead finds God's presence comforting. The psalmist recognizes that there are times in our lives that leave us feeling like we are in the darkest and the most remote places we can possibly imagine. And yet God's there to comfort us, to lead and to guide us out of that darkness. The frightening darkness loses its power to terrorize and haunt us when God is there to sustain us. Now, on this day of remembrance, I think of this issue in two different ways. This whole business of being in the darkness and God being with us. First, I think of those who have died. As they lived their last moments in this lifetime, what was it like? I've been by their bedside of many people who could no longer communicate with me. They simply worked to take one breath after another. And I believe even in that moment, what seems to us who are sitting by the bedside, that time of darkness, there is communication occurring between God and the actively dying. I believe there is someone with Geraldine Crilly right now. God is there, and even though she can't speak to us, she's talking to God with her heart and her spirit, and God is there listening and assuring her that she is not alone. The communication may not even be happening through words, but instead through the heart and the soul's experience in unity with God's Spirit. How comforting this should be. I know how comforting it is to me, as I know that one day when I go through the unknown of dying, God will be there communicating with me. Secondly, as one who is left behind to grieve after a loved one who passes away, I have someone, a compassionate friend, to hold me and listen while I sigh and cry with painful feelings too deep to put into words. The darkness of grief will not keep God's presence from finding me. And sometimes That's all we need to cling to when it hurts so deeply. God. God is there for us because we are precious to God. The psalmist affirms this reality after reflecting on God's presence with us, even when we are in dark places. In verse 13, he says, "You were there with me from the very beginning, for you formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." The Hebrew word for the inmost being, translated literally, means kidney or heart or internal organs. The psalmist then expresses his faith that God designed and brought into being the hidden parts of his body. He affirms that God formed him in his mother's womb, a process that remained invisible to people until the beginning of modern medical imaging. But the psalmist is speaking of something that surpasses the wonder of the birth process. He knows that the fact that God created the psalmist makes him precious in God's sight. The one who creates always has a special place in his or her heart for that which he or she has created. And so it is with God. The reciprocal is also true. The psalmist acknowledges that God created him, so God has a special place in his heart. The psalmist has turned the corner in recognizing that not only does God know him, but he knows God. What makes the relationship between the psalmist and God is that God not only created him and knew how he was put together, God knows the psalmist's soul. He knows the psalmist's thoughts. God knew even before the psalmist was born the path that the psalmist's life would take. This does not mean that God predestined all of his days. God just knew before the psalmist did what he did, the decisions that the psalmist would make. He knew the challenges he would face, the joys he would celebrate before the psalmist even lived them, and he would be with him. This was almost too much for the psalmist to grasp. As a finite man, the psalmist could not even begin to understand the infinite God. He likens that task to trying to count every grain of sand. Would you like to try to do that? It's not going to happen, is it? It's impossible. But in spite of his personal limitations, we know, he knew and we know, the psalmist feels strongly the presence of God, a presence that he knows will always be available to him. What makes the words of the psalm even more amazing is that these truths of God have been meant for all people since the beginning of time. Every single person has been, is, and will be known by God as a living, breathing being and as a soulful, spiritual being. Even though he knows all, he continues to search for everyone because he wants to be known by us. God wants to be known by us. Everyone wants to be known, and everyone is known by God. God knows you better than you know yourself. Think about that. Maybe that scares you. I hope not. To be fully known by God means that you always have God's attention. That's pretty special anytime, but especially when times are tough. Can you give me a microphone down here? Hello?
Ha ha ha, there we are. I remember a time when this became all very real for me. My family and I went down to the beach. And there we were, enjoying the beach. Well, most of us were. I was a little down. I was going through a time of depression because of some things that had happened earlier in my childhood that I was having trouble working through. So there we were, enjoying the beach. Suddenly, my son Zachary comes to me. Now, the kids were, okay, little. Our son Zachary, who's our youngest one, came running to me. Mom, look what I got! He had got hit on the head with this seashell. Now, I don't know if that hole there was there before it hit him on the head or if it broke then. But in any case, he brought this seashell to me. And suddenly, I needed to have a seashell. I needed a seashell because I needed to know that God cared. So I abandoned my husband and my boys and began marching up and down the beach. And every time I thought I saw a seashell come in on the shore, I stuck my hand down in the water, pulled something up, and usually it was just sand. Did that for a couple of days. And on our last day there, I had picked up everything. We were leaving. I picked up everything that we had, the sand toys, the chairs and everything, and I was kind of saying goodbye to the beach. I mean, I wasn't right at the water's edge. I was back a little bit, just saying goodbye to the beach, and I was really kind of angry with God. He didn't give me no seashell. He didn't care. And all of a sudden, I could have sworn I saw a seashell coming in on the wave. I ran down to the wave, stuck my hand down in, this is Ocean City, Maryland, the water is not clear blue there, you know that, right? So I stuck my hand down in the water, I pulled my hand out, and I had a seashell. I don't have it anymore because I gave it to a beloved friend of mine, Jimmy Ross, who helped me through some difficult times. But I had a seashell, and it said to me, God cared. God was with me as I went through the struggles that I was going through in my life at that time. God cares. He's with you. And he's with each and every one of you in whatever it is you're going through. God cares. Yes, God, oh yes, my friends. God knows you. God knows your joys. God knows your pain. God knows your needs, and God knows your cares. God knows. God not only knows, but God is with you for the long haul, the journey of your life. Amen.